everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She is a 1988 U.S. Olympian and world record holder in the high jump for ages 40 to 44, as well as garnering 6 U.S. national and 3 world championship titles, as recounted in her 2010 release, Rekindle the Dream, how a neck injury, the birth of 2 children, and an 11-year hiatus from competitive sports would not only propel this athlete to overcome, but achieve even greater in the world of sports and against all odds. In her latest, King Here, Never Too Old, Never Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus, my next guest recounts a different kind of overcoming. The grief from sudden and horrific loss, coupled with the ongoing grief of a loved one's opioid addiction and eventual suicide, and how Trish and her family have had to overcome, and how you can too. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, Olympian, motivational speaker, and award-winning author of her latest heart-wrenching yet hopeful read, King Here, Trish Porter Topmiller. Trish, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Trish, it's an honor to have you. I took the time to let our listeners know a little bit about you and your previous book, Rekindle the Dream, since yours is a family that has achieved and overcome much. But now, as you document in your latest, King Here, you tell a different kind of story. It's the story of your father, Charles W., quote, Chuck, as affectionately known, King Jr., and what you would need to overcome what you never expected. So first question, describe your father and why telling his story is so important for you and those listening today.
Well, my dad was really an amazing man. He loved outrageous adventures. He wasn't about things. He ended up becoming a multimillionaire in business through the real estate industry and venture capitalist, and took several businesses public, or took one business public. But he was really a unique individual. And when I looked back on his life, that was when I realized I wanted to write about him, because he had this amazing part of his life, and then he had such tragic losses that you and I look at as tragic and sad and horrible. But I look and I saw God's plan and the pieces of the puzzle coming together. And that was one of the reasons I really wanted to write about his life.
Now, your father amassed a fortune in the millions through real estate and as a venture capitalist, but lost 97% of it all in a day, plunging him into a state of bedridden depression, opioid addiction that would eventually take his life by his own hand at age 82. What efforts, Trish, were made to intervene and help? And how useful was your, quote, never give up Olympian attitude through this process, or was it?
Well, I think as an Olympian, you're pretty relentless, and you have to have perseverance and stay in the game during the hard times. And that's really, I think, was the attitude of our entire family, is we tried not to give up. We tried to continue to tell him how valuable he was and what his worth was to us and to the grandchildren. We talked about doing an intervention and decided not to. We constantly tried to have him over for, my brothers would have him over for dinner with all the kids and take him to events, sporting events, the kids, the grandkids' sporting events, to let them know how important they were to us. So I think that I tried to, you know, stay in the game and not give up, even though we were all very frustrated because he continued with his opioid addiction.
Now, you had loss and grief to deal with in your own life while all of this was going on with your father. You lost a husband of 20 years and a son just 15 years of age and his friend. At the same time, your stepmother, who was 20 years younger than your father, also lost her life to addiction at the age of 60. How did you comport all of that?
Well, the loss of my husband, Pat, who was a two-time Olympian, who I met at the Olympics. So that was very special and very sweet. He was a pilot, and both he and my 15-year-old son, Connor, who was a U.S. fencing medalist at the National Fencing Championships, along with their friend Connor Mange, were all in Sedona at a boys' trip, at a guys' trip, and the plane went down. And so I lost half my family. Suddenly, I lost my guys. We lost our laughter. And so that is such a life changer when you don't expect something. You don't ever expect that. It's not how you planned your life. It's not how your life was going in the direction. And so it really rocked my world. I kind of stood on, I trust you, Lord. The first night after the accident, I was in bed with my daughter, and she was 11. And she said, Mom, I know they're in heaven. I know they're in a better place. And I know we'll see them again one day because they believed in Jesus. And so we really stood on that. That gave us hope. It gave us confidence that we'll see them again one day. And that just was something that we clung to.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Trish Porter Topmiller, award-winning author of her just-released King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. Your father was the epitome of go-get-em, success, risk-taker, adrenaline junkie, family man, jet-setting here and there, wonderful times, and all of a sudden, as you recount in your book, he's in bed, sleeping most of the day. He doesn't handle the death of his wife well. You're trying to, as you alluded to earlier, get him out, get him around the grandchildren, give him hope, give him life, but still something was missing. And in the meantime now, you are now remarried to a wonderful man whom God used eventually to lead your father to the Lord before his death. And the angel you call Michael. Tell us about that.
So, yes, Michael. So my dad finally agreed to go to church after I got married. I say that was kind of the closest he'd come to church in a long time was our wedding. And my brother had been asking him to go to church, and finally he agreed to go. And there in the second row was Michael. And I believe he was an angel, because remember his name was Michael, Michael Archangel. And so he was worshiping the Lord with his whole being, raising his hands and moving his body as he sang songs in a fairly conservative church. And my dad was inexplicably drawn to him. He would call my brother in the middle of the week and say, hey, are you going to church on Sunday? Because I want to get there early. I want to go and sit behind my friend, Michael. Now, the thing about my dad is my dad was never on time for anything in his life. He lived by King Standard Time, which was typically 1 to 2 hours late. So for him to want to get there early, that was incredible.
So describe Michael for our listeners. As I recount your book, he had his hands raised to the Lord. Obviously, he was full of the joy of the Lord. Talk about what your father took away from watching Michael as he worshiped.
It doesn't quite make sense to me, because really, my dad was 82 years old, and most men at that age, if they were to go to church and see somebody like that, they would be very uncomfortable, right, with a person raising their hands.
Right.
But my dad wasn't. He was drawn to him. He was drawn to him. And so that's what was so incredible. And then one day, my brother went up to Michael and said, Michael, will you please talk to my dad about Jesus? You know, I've tried and he doesn't want to really listen, but he really likes you and is drawn to you. Will you talk to him? And Michael looked at my brother and said, God's got your dad in his hands. God's got your dad in his hands. That to me was just such a crazy statement, because usually if someone loves the Lord, sure, I'll talk to your father, you know, be happy to. But he didn't. He knew that God had my dad in his hands.
So then bring us to the day when your husband is sitting down at a table and he begins to share the plan of salvation with your father.
So, yeah, we didn't even know if my dad would get up in the morning to be able to, you know, to see James. James decided to read his Bible out in the kitchen, hoping to see my dad. And my dad came out, and James asked him if he'd ever studied the Bible before. And my dad said no. And then he said, well, Chuck, if you were to die and go to heaven, and you were at the pearly gates, and they said, why should we let you in? What would you say? And my dad said, because I've been a good person. And James said, yeah, but in heaven, the standard is perfection. With God, the standard is perfection. And all of us sin, all of us fall short, and we aren't perfect. Chuck, have you ever told a lie? And my dad said, well, yeah. And he goes, that's an example of the sin that separates us from God. But thankfully, God has supplied Jesus to die, who died on the cross for us and rose again, to be perfection, the standard of perfection. And if we believe in him and put our trust in him, then we can be saved. And so then he asked if my dad would like to pray to receive Jesus sincerely into his heart. And my dad said yes, and they prayed together.
Amen and amen. And there's a time, it's kind of funny, in your book where he wasn't sure that he heard everything that your husband said because he had a hearing aid at the time. So did you question whether or not he really heard the context of salvation?
Oh, yes. No, he absolutely heard, because he did. He kept getting closer and closer to James as James was talking. And then he finally said, hang on, I need to get my hearing aid. And I know, which is very silly. James just was like, oh, no. But the thing is, my dad didn't usually sit and listen to people talk for very long, unless it was maybe about business. So I knew Dad was also drawn to the words that James was using. And James also understood my father, because he was a businessman and he had lost his wife too. So my dad couldn't say, well, you don't understand my pain. He liked James. He knew James understood his pain and had gone through something similar.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Olympian, motivational speaker, and award-winning author, her latest, King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. You can learn more about Trish's work, ministry, and mission by visiting trishportertopmiller.com and get her book, Get Informed, Get Inspired, and above all, get hope that suicide does not have the final word and all things are possible through Christ who loves us. Trish, thank you for sharing just a little of your amazing journey and that of your father, a blessed memory, Charles W. King Jr., a man of few words, great achievements, great losses, yet in the end, great hope. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
As an Olympian, world-class champion, and record-breaking title holder, my next guest knows well the diligence, perseverance, and just plain hard work to achieving one's dreams, and why giving up is never an option. What she learned on and off the field of life would soon be tested in unimaginable ways. Here to share that story and more in part two of our conversation today is award-winning author, motivational speaker, and daughter of the man they called Charles W. King Jr., or quote, Chuck, as he was affectionately known, and the book written to honor his memory entitled King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. Would you welcome back to Testimony a great joy indeed, Trish Porter Topmiller. Trish, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
Well, it's great to have you. I love having you here. In our last segment, you shared the success, tragedy, and eventual triumph of your father, Chuck King, who would find Jesus at the end of his life, but then choose to end his life, leaving you and your family with the devastation of that decision and the unanswered questions as to why. For this segment, Trish, I want to delve even more into the ramifications of opioid addiction, which took your father's life, and the hope you found to navigate through it all despite your own personal grief and loss, and why giving up is really never an option. But Jesus is. Trish Porter, first question. There are those that question your father's salvation in view of what they perceived as his, quote, lack of transformation, and then his decision to end his life. Can you speak to this and the role opioids played in that decision?
Yes. You know, I think we all want to say when you accept the Lord and ask Jesus into your life, there's going to be this huge, dramatic transformation. And some people are fortunate and do have that. But this was an 82-year-old man who had never gone to church, who had never really done much as far as with interpersonal, really deep emotions and interpersonal communication. And so I think we'd love him to be able to come home from church and say, oh boy, that really touched me and moved me in this way and et cetera, et cetera. That didn't happen. For him, it was much more subtle. He had his Bible, and you saw that it was moving on his bed in different places, so we knew he was reading it. This was a man who slept 21, 22 hours a day, typically, and didn't get out of bed often until 1 or 2 o'clock. But he had gone to church a few times on his own. And that means he got up early in the morning, he got himself dressed, he drove to the church, which is a little scary because he had lots of scratches on his dents in his car. So we don't know what happened on that opioid use. But so he was desiring to go to church. So there were changes. He just didn't have that major, you know, I want to live life and get off my drugs kind of change. But he was decreasing his medication. Through Beth Ann, his caretaker, she started decreasing his opioids, and he was getting better and living a little bit more of life.
Now, for our listeners who may have missed part one of our conversation, can you recap your father, what he was about, what he lost, and why he ended up in that bed for 21, 22 hours a day?
Yeah, so my father was an amazing man. He loved outrageous adventures. He was athletic and loved sports and snow skied and water skied and played tennis. His adventures, he had climbed the Matterhorn. He had motorcycled on his Harleys to Sturgis, South Dakota, and up to Canada. He once took a date. He flew her in a private jet from San Francisco to Los Angeles so they could have dinner on the Goodyear blimp over the night that he lights in Los Angeles. So, and he had gone around the world in 26 days on the Concorde, which was a supersonic jet, for his honeymoon. So he was a big adventurer. He was also a multimillionaire, but he felt that his financial fortress was invincible and he had no need for God. He even once told me, pointed finger, I have more money than God, and if I lost half my money, I'd still be rich.
Wow.
But little did he know, because really what happened then in 2007, he ended up losing 97% of his money. And that started a big spiral downhill where his back was hurting. And so he decided to go to doctors, and several doctors gave him pain meds, which was Oxycontin and oxycodone. And that began the journey of him becoming addicted and dependent on those and taking lots of them each day and getting them from many doctors, many different doctors. And so then he would sleep. He'd sleep 21, 22 hours a day. He lived in what he called the Bat Cave, which was this dark room with blackout shades that he never opened the windows, and he just lived in that Bat Cave, and that's where he spent his time in darkness and depression and sleeping.
Now, what did you do as his daughter to try and get him out of this as a family, the grandchildren and all of that. You're an Olympian. You're a go-getter. You're a winner. You're positive. Nothing is impossible with God. You're a Christian. You know Jesus. Your father doesn't at this point. He eventually would come to the Lord through your husband, your now second husband. You lost your first husband of 20 years and your 15-year-old son. And I mean, all of this in a four-year period, as you recount in your book. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Trish Porter Topmiller, her latest just released, King Here. Talk about your efforts to help your dad, but why opioid addiction can sometimes supersede even the greatest of those efforts.
Yes, well, I think, you know what? People become someone that they're not on the drugs. My dad had told me all these great sayings and inspirational, motivational quotes, and here's this person who then didn't want to get out of bed. And so he wasn't the same person. So we all, as a family, we tried to encourage him to go to the grandchildren's sporting events. We told him how much we loved him. I made it a whole photo, huge photo album on how all the things he had said to us and taught me over the years and the kids and all the things he had done for my children to really let them know how important he was to us and how much we need him. And then we had talked about trying to do an intervention and we ended up not. The opioid addiction, it's so serious and it really is a mental illness that people we need to be more understanding and patient with in some sense, but take it as something that is serious and not to ignore it.
Amen and amen. Any guilt with not doing the intervention?
Yeah, you know, in honesty, I wish we would have, but they really felt that this was an 80-year-old man who, again, was a multimillionaire who was in charge of his own life, and they felt like, you know, that was his choices he was making. And so I struggled with that because I did want to do the intervention, and at least we would have tried. But I do believe we did extend his life for many, many years because he had talked about suicide for so long, but he didn't. He went many more years, and his last year of his life really was a good year for his life. He was much more participatory because he was not taking as many opioids.
It can be very, very difficult. There are other stories where God will supernaturally intervene and the person is instantly delivered of that spirit of addiction. That can happen. I've seen that happen. But in your case, with your father, the best news is that your father received Jesus so that no matter the outcome, and he did end his life at age 82, we know where he is today. Why did you write King Here? What is the significance of the title? And Trish, how has your father's death helped you to live a better life?
So King Here, my dad was a man of few words, and he'd answer the phone, King Here. And then his message machine would say, King Not Here, speak at the beep. And so really, King Here is, hey, I'm answering and I'm telling you, you know, listen to my story, but also has a double entendre of the King of Kings saying, King Here, listen to this story. I can offer you hope. I can offer you Jesus. So that's really the meaning of that. And I wrote it because when I looked back on his life and I saw all this wonderful times and all these amazing adventures and then the tragedy and all these tragic losses that looked so terrible, but really then I saw the miracles. He had so many miracles and I saw God work and it was like a puzzle and he had all these pieces of the puzzle and we just didn't know what the puzzle box top looked like until the end. And so that was why I wrote it, is that then I felt like I brought it to a publisher and they said, oh no, this isn't just for your family. This is something that needs to go out to other people because you'll inspire and offer other people hope.
Any last words of comfort, exhortation, and or takeaway for our listeners? And Trish, what has been the biggest takeaway for you personally?
Well, I've had a few. I've had a few of husband and son having a relationship with Jesus. And so then they're in heaven now, and what a gift that was. And along with my dad, what a gift that those three have given my daughter and I, that we know we'll see them again someday. And so I encourage other people, you know, to seek Jesus, because that's a gift. You never know when your time is up. That's a gift that you can give your family, is that if they know, they'll see you again someday.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Olympian motivational speaker and award-winning author, her latest, King Here, Never Too Old, Too Rich, or Too Anything to Meet Jesus. You can learn more about Trish's work, ministry, and mission by visiting trishportertopmiller.com and get her book, Get Informed, Get Inspired, and above all, get the hope that Jesus brings, no matter the addiction, the situation, the circumstance. All things are possible through Christ who loves us. Trish, thank you again for sharing more of your amazing journey and that of your father of blessed memory, Charles W. King Jr., which encourages us all, no matter our station, gift, calling, millions, or next to nothing in life, that Christ is central, always will be, and that, yes, in King Here, as you so beautifully write, we are all never too old, too rich, or too anything to meet Jesus. We are thankful, Trish, that your father met Jesus before his death at age 82 and now continues his conversation with the King of Kings. We thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.